We're holding on the fifth line of Chesedayin Amud Aleph. Oh, to finish off, by the way, yesterday we left a couple of questions open that we had left over from the Gemara about Socher, Socher, and about the Vov. So the Socher, Socher business, we were asking, how is it? We were trying to argue where the Rebbe holds of Socher, Socher in one context and trying to use that as an argument for whether he holds of that Zer Shavah in another context. So they bring from the Maharash Adam, one of the early Achronim in the time of the Beis Yosef, he deals with this in one of his Chuvos. He says the vort is, in general, when you have the Kabbalah, when you have Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, that there's supposed to be a certain Gzeira Shavah, which we're saying over here, most of the Tanoim would have had the Gzeira Shavah Sachar Sachar. The Gzeira Shavah doesn't tell you what exactly you're supposed to be learning from that Gzeira, from it. All you're told is there's this pair of words. It's left to the Chachamim to determine what you're supposed to learn from those words. So therefore, the Gemara can assume that if Rebbe holds a Gzeira Shavah, if Rebbe doesn't hold a Gzeira Shavah Sachar Sachar in one context, then he doesn't hold of it at all.
Whereas we don't assume yesterday.
That's basically what the Maharash Tam says. As far as the Vav, so the real question is, in the end, has the Gemara established, is there anybody who doesn't hold of the Gzeira Shavah? So the Ramban says, in fact, no. The bottom line seems to be the Gemara is every Tana that we thought maybe doesn't hold of it, we've answered and said that after all he does hold of it.
Or we could at least
we can explain that they do hold of the Gzeira Shavah, they have other reasons for their opinions. So in that case, according to all of them, the Vav is not needed to teach that. However, we do end up using the Vav later on. We're going to be talking about how with the din of Gira and Kesef, the din that the Eved Ivri can buy himself out from his master, that it only says by a Goyish master. It never says that explicitly by an Eved Ivri at all. It only says by an Omar Ivri of the Hefta. So at the very least, the Gemara doesn't say so explicitly, but the premise seems to be that at least we can use the Vav for that. But aside from that also, that the fact that an Eved Ivri can be freed with Gira and Kesef by buying himself out. Yeah.
Like
as if his master was a goy, right. The other thing is, though, the Ritva says that actually... No, not necessarily. No, but not necessarily, because we could argue a goy, the only Kenyan can be with Kesef, but there's other forms of Kenyan as well. Aside from that, anyway, the Ritva wants to say that actually we have, even though we went through all the possibilities and we seem to say that everybody holds this Zera Shavah, he says maybe not. The original Braita that we brought on Yudal Ramad Beis, the whole Machloikus about the four things, about the four differences between a Mercher Atzmai and Machru Beistin, where we said on the face of it, the reason is because the Tanakhama doesn't hold of the Gzeira Shavah, Sacher, Sacher, and then we brought Rav Yumi's answer that no, he does hold, maybe he does hold that Gzeira Shavah, but each one he has a miyot. The Ritva says, in the end, the only reason we would have needed that is because we thought there was somebody else who doesn't have that Gzeira Shavah. Therefore, we wanted to say, okay, at least the Chachamim do hold of it. Now that we found, though, that Rav Lezman Yaakov holds of it clearly, and Rebbe holds of it clearly, then we're back to, we can say that, in fact, the Tanakhama of that Braisa, your Yudalim Abed, Taka doesn't hold of Sacher Sacher, and that is why he holds of those differences. Not because of the individual Miyotim that he found by each one, but because he, Taka, doesn't hold of the Zer Shavah, and he needs the Vav of Vachi Sachin for that.
On the basis that the
Meir
holds of it, and well,
on the basis that Rav Lezman Yaakov and Rebbe hold of it, and therefore, by elimination, it must be that Tana. So we're holding the fifth line of Chesedayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah said of a shtar, that an Eved Ivri or an Amar Ivriya can be bought with a shtar. Menolon, where do we know this? Amar Ul Amakra, Imacheres Yikachloi. The Pasuk mentioned in the case of an Amar Ivriya, if the master takes for himself another wife, then we say that he has to be careful not to deny the Amar Ivriya, who he already took as a wife, through Yiyud. He has to be careful not to withhold her rights as a wife. Therefore, what we're doing is we're making a hekesh between the Amar Ivriya and an Acheres, another wife. Ma Acheres mikni b'shtar, Amar Ivriya mikni b'shtar. Just like the Acheres, just like a regular wife, can be acquired with a shtar, ketz of shtar and bia, like we said in the first Mishnah, so also an Amar Ivriya. Okay. Fine, that works out well according to the opinion that the shtar, which we're going to have the machlokas in a minute, if you buy an Amar Ivriya with a shtar, who writes it? If we say Odin Kosvoi, if we say the master writes it, and you say he writes out a shtar, gives it to the father, bitcha knuyali, then fine, that's the equivalent of a shtar kedushin. When you're being mekadesh somebody's daughter, when she's a ktana or a naira, remember the Amar Ivriya, remember by definition the Amar Ivriya is a ktana, because once she's a naira she can't be sold anymore. Same way as when you Makadish Tana or Naira, you write out Shtar and you say Bitchum Makudash Tzliya, as we talked earlier on Dafma or Zayin. The same way over here, if we say the Aldin is writing Bitchum Knuyali, that's fine, it's the same kind of thing. But according to the opinion that it's the father who writes the shtar and says, I'm machne my daughter to you, and I'm machne my daughter to you as an omar hivriyalo, then what are you going to say? It's not the same kind of shtar then. So how can you learn? If it's the father writing it, it's not the same kind of
shtar.
That's what we're arguing. In the case of a regular kiddushin, there wouldn't be. A regular kiddushin shtar involves the husband, the husband writing out bitchum kodeshly. But here, according to the opinion that it's the father who's writing out the shtar, then how are we learning that? How are we deriving that concept? That the father writes the shtar from the case where the orus writes out the shtar to the father? Because in fact we have that machlokes. Shtar Omer Hivya Bikosvoy. Who Taka writes that shtar for an Omer Hivya? Ravuna Omer Oden Kosvoy. Ravuna says that the master writes it, in which case it is very much like a shtar kedushin. Rav Chista Omer Ov Kosvoy. And Rav Chista says that the father writes it. So then the question is, Hamnichal Ravuna El Rav Chista Mayik Lememer. So where does Rav Chista then, according to him, where does he get the concept that an Omer Hivya can be acquired with a shtar in the first place? It's not even a shtar similar to a regular shtar of kedushin. So what's the basis on which it should work?
I mean, why not?
Well, why should it? I mean, no money is changing hands right now. Only shtar is changing hands. Why should that make it that now she's officially an Omer Hivya? Omer Avach Bayakov, Omer Kro, because the Pasuk says, Lo Seitei Ketseitei Avodim, the Pasuk says that she doesn't leave that the way that Avodim do. So the simple meaning of it, Rashi points out, he brings it on the Pasuk and Chumash as well, it means that an Omer Hivriya does not go free in the same way, not that an Eved Ivri does, but rather that an Eved Knani does. An Eved Knani, we know, one of the ways that he goes free, which we're going to talk about later on the Chavdal and Chafei, is going to be the concept of Roshei Varim, if his master knocks out his eye or his tooth or any one of 24 other ends of limbs.
That's
Yitzhiya. At that point, that Eved officially has to be freed. Loi Seitei Ketseitei Avodim means she does not go free in the same way that Avodim do. So,
he has to pay her,
right. And the same thing applies to an Eved Ivri, by the way, incidentally. I mean, the same thing applies to an Eved Ivri as well. If a master knocks out the Eved Ivri's eye or tooth or what have you also, he doesn't go free, he just pays him like you would pay an ordinary person who you were Yechovah Bachaveri. It's only an Eved Knani. So, Lloyd says, because it's Abadim, the simple meaning of it means that she isn't freed by Shein V'ayin like Abadim do. But we darshan it in another way also. Abel Niknesik Kinyin Abadim. The implication is she doesn't leave the way Avodim do, but she can be acquired in the way that Avodim do. Mind you, shtar. Namely, what's one of the ways that an Eved Knani can be acquired is a shtar. Because in general, throughout Shas, we assume, and later on when we talk about Avodim Knanim, and on the next Mishnah, we're going to talk about it in more detail, there's a heckish between Avodim and character. When the Pasuk says about an Eved, the Pasuk says in Parashat Bahar, on an Eved Knani, that you bequeath them to your children after you, just like land, to inherit them like an estate. So therefore, there's a heckish between Avodim Knanim and land, which comes out throughout Shas in many, many different halachas. So therefore, one aspect of that hekesh is just like land can be bought with kesef shtar or chazaka, so can an Eved Knani. So if the implication is like seitzik ketes avodim, but she can be niknik a kinyan avodim, then one of the kinyanim of an Eved is a shtar. Okay, ma'avol niknik a kinyan avodim ma'avol.
She doesn't go out,
but the implication is she does come in with something similar to avodim. More than kesef, which kesef we already have a separate passage for. We learned from Behefta. So therefore, it must be coming to include something else, one of the other two. Okay, the question is why dafka shtar? Why not say that you can be koneh to her with chazaka, same as an eved knani? Chazaka in the case of an eved or a shivcha involves that you have them do some kind of work for you that an eved normally does. The answer is Omer Krov. It's Nachal to Moshe of Nechem Acharechem. No, because the pasuk says that you should, about Avodim Knanim, that you bequeath them to your children after you. And the word Oisem is a mute. Oisem b'chazaka v'layacha b'chazaka. Only them, Avodim Knanim, are bequeathed in this way using chazaka. Not anybody else. So not an Omer Hivriya. and not a and not an average man, for that matter. Yeah, by the way, Maimir Chazak, Rashi says over here in or Maimir Chazak, the Gemara explains over there, Shekefeu Lasis Malacha Achas. You force the Eved to do some kind of Malacha. That's Chazak. Yeah. So anyway, the Miut of Oysev. Force him, like, you know, whatever, however it takes, whatever, you know, force can also, forcing can also be verbally, you know, do this, you know. Look, I mean, you know, forcing can also be bedaki noyam, you know, when it says in Hilchos Malachim, you know, Tziva Moshe, the Rebbe used to quote it all the time, and then with the whole Sheva Mitzvahs campaign, you know, lock off his kol ha'olam, doesn't mean you have to force them, you know, beat them into doing the Sheva Mitzvahs menayach. I mean, it can mean you force them in the sense that you explain to them so logically how this is what they got to do that, you know, they feel that there's no alternative, you know, yeah. Okay. Anyway. Okay, so the oisam comes to exclude Chazaka. Fine, maybe the Osem comes to exclude Shtar, maybe only Avodim Knanim can be acquired with a Shtar, not an Eved Ivri or an Amo Ivri. We have the Ribui, based on Leseta Kaseis Avodim, that there must be some kind of way that Avodim are acquired, that she can, that he or she, an Eved Ivri or an Amo Ivri, can also be acquired. That's Shtar. Okay, Umara Isa, so what's the logic to say that the Ribui comes to tell us Shtar and the Miut comes to tell us Chazaka, comes to tell us not Chazaka, maybe the other way around? It's more logical to include a Shtar because we see that a Shtar has the power to be Moitzi, to call the Bas Yisrael, to be divorced. So we see a Shtar has great power. Tosus points out, I mean, it also has the power to bring her in. It also has the power of Kiddushin. The difference is, Gittin, it says explicitly in the Pasuk, the cause of Lasetra Krisis. Kiddushin with a Shtar we only learn from a river, the Yat of Ha'isa. Therefore, the Gemara would prefer to talk about the power that it has to be Moti. Fine. Why not argue the other way around? Chazaka has a power also because it makes it, you're able to be koine nichse ager. Namely, if a ger dies childless, and we're gonna have a case of it later on in the chop when we discuss the whole matter of avadim knanim. A ger dies childless. He has no heirs in halacha. His old goyish family is not considered his family because the katan shener the dummy. Therefore, any yidin who get a hold of his property, they're machzik in it. That's it. They're koneh it. And how do you accomplish that with chazaka? In the case of avodim, it would involve that you're machzik in them. So we see chazaka has power over there. Okay, the answer is b'ishus miul la'ashkechan. True, but on the other hand, we don't find that chazaka has any power when it comes to ishus. Now, why is ishus relevant over here? We're not talking about ishus. We're talking about an amah ivriya. So, in fact, there are the Rid takes out the word ishus miul la'ashkechan. He says it's not really a question of ishus or not. The point is, though, that we see that shtar has the power to be moitzi. It has the power to take off an ishus miser in the case of ishus ish. Whereas chazaka, okay, it has a power in the case of nichse ager, but not. No, it's not the same kind of thing. A shtar doesn't have the ability to take it away from the ger. The ger has died. It's hefker, so now you're machzik in it.
So it's not ishus.
That's the point. So the Rid takes out the word ishus.
Right.
There's other explanations also, including that after all, in Amar Hevriya, the one of the main purposes why an Amar Hevriya is sold in the first place is that it's expected that there should be yield, that the master or his son should be mekadesh her with the money that was used for the sale, and therefore the sale is sort of the first stage in what leads to ishus, and therefore we should argue that shtar is stronger in that context than chazaka. And there's another explanation that says not really, and the Gemara is mentioning ishus in the sense that shtar has the power even to undo ishus. That shows how strong it is, as opposed to chazaka. Again, yeah, which would be another reason, besides what Tosfos said about that a get says explicitly in the pasuk and kedushin doesn't, but with shtar, the other reason would be why the Gemara is focusing on a get, is to show how powerful a shtar is, that it has the ability to dissolve a marriage, whereas chazaka does not. So therefore, if we have to be marva one and mamayit the other, more logically we're marva shtar and mamayit chazaka. Idvarisema, or another possibility, you could say, you don't need that logic, lahoch yahani imacheres. After all, we do have the hekesh that we started with the Gemara with imacheres yichachloi. That you have a hekesh between the Omer Hevriya and a regular wife. So, okay, we argue according to the Chista, it's not the same kind of thing, because in the case of Kiddushin, the husband writes the shtar, and in the case of an Omer Hevriya, the father writes the shtar. Still, there is a certain basic underlying similarity over there. The pasuk, that hekesh is enough to tell us that there is some similarity between them, namely in the fact that a shtar can be done. The details of a shtar tap are going to be different. Who writes it? But at least that hekesh taken together with loteta kateka avodin and taken together with the miut of oisam, all that put together tells us that if we have a choice between shtar and chazaka, we're more logically going to say it's shtar rather than chazaka. Where after all, there's no chazaka in the case of an acheres at all.
It helps
guide us in the right direction. Rav Huna high lo tzeitzik tzeitzav adam my darsh. Fine. What does Rav Huna do with the words lo tzeitzik tzeitzav adam? Rav Chista needed it as part of this whole limud over here to say that a shtar works according to Rav Huna. What do you need it for? If he's saying that you just do directly the hekesh im acheres yikachloi, just like by kedushin, the husband writes the shtar, so over here the odin writes the shtar, and that's that. What do you need? What do you need any other pasuk for? The answer is miharu mibay leisheni yotze barashay varim kevin. He uses it for exactly what we said before: the fact that an amohivria does not go free if she loses one of the rashay varim, unlike an eved tzani or a shifchaknani.
That's just his opinion?
No, everybody agrees to that din. He's saying that you're using, that you don't need loiseta kateta bottom to teach us anything else. You use it only for that din. Okay. Rav Chista, what does he answer back? And Ken, if that's what the pasuk meant to teach us, then it didn't have to repeat the word kitseis. My kitseis ha'avodim, Rishmam in Atarati, he argues that the fact that the pasuk is saying loiseta kitseis ha'avodim means you can learn two things from it. Number one, that her yitzia is not like the yitzia of Avadim, namely she doesn't go free with her Roshay Avadim. Fine, I agree with that also. And number two, that her yitzia is not like theirs, but her knissa is like theirs. Whereas Rav Huna would argue that you don't do that diyuk. You just have the one din. You just have the one din about Roshay Avadim. But as we said, according to Rav Huna, you have the pasuk im acheres yikachloi to teach us shtar. According to Rav Chista, you need the combination of sukkim in order to teach us the din. Incidentally, the Rambam mentions in the shorshim of Sefer HaMitzvah, he gives one of his shorshim to determine what's considered a mitzvah among the 613 mitzvahs and what's not. He has the 14 rules over there. One of them, he says, is you have to be careful to distinguish between things where the pasuk says loy something, and it means don't do such and such, versus loy, where it means it is not done. It's just a negation rather than a statement not to do it. And the Rambam gives this as an example. He says there were previous people who enumerated the mitzvahs, I forget who, maybe the Bahag or something, who counts loiseses keseses avodim as a mitzvah loiseses. He says, you see from our Gemara over here, it's not. It's not telling us don't allow her to go free like keseses avodim. It means she doesn't go free. In other words, this concept that exists by avodim doesn't exist by her. It's not a loiseses, it's just a negation.
Why don't you use the Russian al?
Sometimes you have to do well. Al definitely means don't. But that's the point that Amma mentions. When it says al, there's no question. It means don't. No. But loy can be either one. Loy in Russian Kurdish can mean either don't or it can mean it is not.
And why is it her using this ambiguous Russian?
Languages are funny that way, you know? I don't know. And there are there are places where there's actually machloitis. The Rambam mentions in that same shorter, there's a few places in the Torah where there's actually machloitis. You can find a machloitis in the Gemara whether a loy is meant don't do this or as a negation. Yeah. The Mishnah said, continue v'koneh safu v'shanim, that an eved ivri acquires himself, or an amah ivri for that matter, acquires themselves back, they go free, when the 6 years have passed, t'chtif, sheish shanim yavad v'shvieskoim, because the pasuk says that they work for 6 years, and the seventh year they go free. Which, by the way, as we mentioned yesterday, the seventh year doesn't mean Shemitah. It means 6 years after they were sold. 6 calendar years after they were sold.
Yeah.
But Yovel, the Mishnah had said that also in Yovel, the Chtivat Shnasa Yovel Yavadimach, the Pasuk that we quoted yesterday, that they go free in Yovel. And Girin Kesef, where do we know that they go free with deducting from the price? We had this before. Because the pasuk says he makes it possible for her to be redeemed. Which means that he deducts from the price. You figure out how much was paid for her or him, for that matter, originally. You deduct from that, and you deduct according to the amount of time that they worked so far, and the balance is what they have to pay us. It's not talking about an Amar Ivriya, but we're going to see that it applies to an Eved Ivriya as well.
Any time she has the money to pay back?
Yeah. So there is a bit of discussion among the Rishonim. I think everybody agrees that it can't even be Baal Korcho. The question is, one thing we're going to deal with on Amud Beis when we start getting into the concept of Hanocha, that the severance pay that the master is supposed to pay the Eved or the Omer when they go free, does that apply if there was vehefta against his will, where there was vehefta early against his will? If he consents to it, it's one thing, but yeah.
And
it's a different opinion. Yeah. Tana, we learn in a braisa. The koina asasma bekesef v'shava kesef v'shtar. An Eved Ivri can acquire himself back, can become independent with kesef or with shava kesef, with something that has monetary value, meaning metalpolin, basically, or with shtar, or with a shtar. The question is, bishlam a kesef, I can understand he can pay money to him the kesef a knase. The pasuk mentions the money that was paid for him, and again, it mentions that in the case of a goyish master, and again, we can use the vav, v'chi sasig, to learn that the same thing applies with a Jewish master. Shava kesef nami, you can understand that shava kesef is also good, because yoshev gulasa amrachmana, because after all the pasuk says yoshev gulasa, that he, when you're figuring out with the goy to buy this guy out, you figure out and you repay him the amount for his redemption.
Amrachmana.
So therefore the rabbis shava kesef to kesef. Adding those words, yoshev gulasa, implies anything that can be any way in which you can reimburse him, including shava kesef, therefore. In a few places, the Gemara uses this kind of thing that yoshiv, that when it mentions not just money, but it uses the word yoshiv to return it, refund it, or whatever, it means shava kesef as well.
Otherwise,
it wouldn't have had to say yoshiv. Otherwise, it would have said yitzein or whatever. Ela hai shtar hechidami. What exactly? What kind of shtar are we talking about? Are we talking about that you write a shtar saying that I owe you X? That I owe you X amount? I am kesef. That's effectively the same thing as kesef. You're going to be paying him that amount. El shichur. So you're going to argue that the shtar is, we're talking about a shtar shichur. Let's say the master voluntarily wants to let him go without getting the money paid back, and you're just going to write a shtar shichur. Shtar lomali. What do you need a shtar for? Le malei ba'apitre. Let him just tell him in the presence of two people, zil, go. Yeah. Just be, pass it him that way.
Don't we make a...
With what?
A woman who's
associated
with the shtar?
No, in the case of an eved, no. I mean, that's what the Gemara is going to discuss in a second. Gufa Kana law or not? No, there's. I mean, you if you're going to redeem him with a shtar, well, that's what we're asking. Why the chal? Do you need a shtar in order to free him? Mela and Eved Kanani is different, and Eved Kanani up until now was also to marry a Bas Yisrael. Now you're going to make him a Meshuchar, he's going to be Mutter, so you need a Shtar to make that official. Here, the guy's been Mutter and a Jewish woman all this time. So what do you need a Shtar for? Inami Ba'ape Bedin Ezil, or instead of telling him in front of two Edim, let him tell him in front of Beis Din, go. And they discuss the issue a bit. Why would he have to say it after in front of two people? Why would he have to say it in front of Beis Din? Why isn't it just enough to say it's Bein Elu Bein Atzmai? Among the reasons is a practical one. The guy needs to have some proof out of it. There's not going to be a shtar. He needs to be able to find evidence afterwards that he's been free. Omer Rava, Zoytze Meres, then in that case we see from this, Eved Ivri, Gufoy Konri, that an Eved Ivri, to a certain extent, his body is the property of his master. We don't just say that he was sold for Maisa Yadav. We say he himself belongs to the master for those 6 years or whatever. And therefore, if the master wants to forgive him, wants to be moichel on the remain on the outstanding money, that doesn't work. You need an actual get shichur. So if he writes him a get shichur, then fine. Then he's no worse off than an Eved Kanani, who we also own as goof, and you can just give him a get shichur without getting paid for him. You can even remaster him, as we learned in Gittin, although then you need a get shichur as well.
That's just sort of proof? From the gear.
No, that's what we're saying. In other words, what we're saying is, even though it's true, he's different than an Eved Kanani in the sense that he was always mutter in a Bas Yisrael. You don't need a shtar shichur for that. But there's a certain way in which his status up until now has been different than a regular yid. In particular, the fact that he's mutter in a shichur Kanani. That's we're showing him talk about this idea. There's two aspects in an eved ivri. There is the monetary aspect of it, which in that case you could be moichel on it, because like you could be moichel on any monetary chayiv. But then there's also the fact that he needs to regain the full kedusha of a Yisrael to be also in a shechachnanis like anybody else. For that you need a shtar. For that you need either gira and kesef, where the money has been paid, or a shtar. That's what we're saying.
Oh, so you don't have a shtar.
No, if you have gira and kesef, then you don't need a shtar. Yeah. Well, there's that also, but we're saying that so Rashi is saying that because the mechila doesn't have effect all by itself, therefore, if the guy were to be mechil him and then say, you know what, I changed my mind, I want you back, he would have the ability to do that.
What's the difference between
Giron Kesef
and Mechila?
No, Giron Kesef doesn't necessarily have to be in front of Edim, but since Gufo Ikonui, since you have a Kinyan Aguf on him, you have to have something to undo that Kinyan Aguf. So either the Giren Kesef accomplishes that, or the Shtar accomplishes that.
Shtar has Eden.
Well, that's also true, yeah.
Giren Kesef accomplishes that without a Shtar?
Yeah, so
that's what we're saying. Lechoda, yeah.
Boys.
No? Because one way or another, one way or another, you need some kind of kinyan. You need some kind of kinyan. Kesef accomplishes a kinyan, because an eved ivri is nifnei b'kesef. Therefore, he's kone is kone after the kesef as well. A shtarl, that's girin, that's what we're talking about, girin kesef.
Cancels.
Girin kesef is that you're saying, you worked for me for 2 years, there's 4 years left to go, I paid $600 for you originally, that means there's $400 left, you pay me $400, then you're free. That's Giron Kesef. At that point, then, therefore, there's been a Kinyan accomplished with that Kesef. Shtar is also a Kinyan. You're Koneh him b'Shtar, as we established before. Therefore, he's Koneh himself b'Shtar. But you need one or the other. Just being Mochel and saying, you know what, never mind the 400, just go, that's not going to be enough. Because then you haven't accomplished a Kinyan, and therefore you've undone the monetary aspect of it, but you haven't undone the fact that that Evan Ivri has that certain difference than a regular Ben Yisrael as far as the Shif of Nan is. Mishnah continues.
Without having been recorded in the
Shtar. Right. You say it all of Amar Ivriya, then we continue. The Mishnah had said that an Amar Ivriya has an additional thing over an Eved Ivri. She has an additional way to go free, namely Simonim. So, Amar Ishlakish, Amar Ivriya Kone Satma Mitzah Sa'ad Mishras Aden, Mikava Chomer. He says there's actually another way, a fifth way, that an Amar Ivriya can go. So, what do we have in Mishnah? We had Shonim B'Yovel B'Girin Kesef. We said an Amar Ivriya has a fourth way, the Simonim. Now, he's adding a fifth way. If her father dies, then she's also Kaina herself.
No, she's all right.
Even though she's right now in the Rishus of the Oden, nevertheless, the fact that her father, the one who originally sold her as an Amar Ivriya, died, Rish Lakish is saying that makes her go free. Mikav HaChomer. Mas Simonim Shein Metzin Mishus Av Metzin Mishus Oden. Madach Simonim, when she becomes the state Cyrus, which don't take her out of the Rishus of the Av, because as we have learned many times before, as long as she's a Naira, she's for the first 6 months after state Cyrus, she's still in the Rishus of her father. Yet, Metziah Mirshus Adin, but they do take her out of the Rishus of the Adin. Misa, she Metziah Mirshus Av. Well, if her father dies, which that takes her out of his Rishus, where then we don't say that her brothers or what have you have any rishus over her, ain't it dinshim etziyah mirshus adin? How much more so should take her out of the rishus of the adin? Okay, so Tosfos points out, I mean, it's not really an ironclad proof. You could argue, what about chuppah, for example? When she goes into the chuppah, that takes her out of her father's rishus, but if she were to go into the chuppah, if she were to get married while she's an amah ivriyah, that doesn't free her from the adin. Suppose while she's in Amar Ivriya, somebody else other than the Adin or the son wants to marry her. That doesn't mean that she's still in Amar Ivriya. She still belongs to the Adin. Yeah. Okay, Tosfos answers the difference is that the difference is that Chuppah requires the father's das. Misa doesn't require the father's das. Nobody controls when they die. Maisvi, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braita says, Maisvi Rav Hoshi, or Mosi Rav Hoshi, it's supposed to be, that Rav Hoshi pointed out a contradiction from our Mishnah. You said all of Amar Ivriya Shekhoina Sassar B'Simonim. It only mentioned a fourth thing by her Simonim. The Imhisa, if you, the Shlokish, are right, Nisni Nami Mitzvah Sa'av, and mention also that Mitzvah Sa'av frees her where it doesn't free an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri wasn't sold by his father in the first place. the usual lines of Tana Vashaya. Okay, the Tana mentioned some things and left out others. He doesn't have to give the entire list. The famous question, of course, my Shaya to my Shaya, what else did he leave out that you can say that he let? Mela, if you had, for example, if you had six things, for example, and he only listed four of them, fine. You could say he didn't bother mentioning the other two. But if there's supposed to be five things and he only listed four, then it means that he left out the fifth one because he doesn't hold of it. So my Shire, what else did he leave out to high Shire that you could logically say he left out this as well as something else?
Because he doesn't agree with
it. Yeah. The answer is no, not because he doesn't agree. If he left out two or more things, you can say, fine, he didn't want to bother giving us the whole list. If he doesn't, yeah.
Then
it could be he just didn't bother with giving the whole list. And just she or Mrs. Auden. Fine, you can say he also left out, what if the master dies? Now, we discussed in the Mishnah that with an Eved Ivri, with a regular Eved Ivri during the first 6 years, if the master dies, he continues working for the son, but not for any other Yoshim. In the case of an Amar Ivriya, no, she goes free at that point. She doesn't continue working for the son. So therefore, there you go. We'll learn from Sukkim later on when we get there, yeah. So there you go, then. There you have a sixth possibility for an Amar Ivriya, which the Mishnah didn't list. No, because just because the Mishnah left out Mrs. Auden, you can't consider that a Shiur. The Mishnah didn't have a reason to mention it for a different reason. To give it to Itanami Ish like a Tani, because the fact is, such a thing does apply to an Ish as well, because there's two different kinds of Eved Ivri. There's the Eved Ivri during his first 6 years, and then there's the Eved Ivri after Ritzia, after his ear was pierced, and he stays on for Yovel. At that point, if his master dies, he does go free. He doesn't work for the son. Only during the first 6 years does he continue working for the son, not after Ritzia. So therefore, you can't say that you say it all of Amar Ivriya that she goes free from Mrs. Auden, because she doesn't have any advantage in that over the Nirtza. The Nirtza also goes free at that point. Therefore, the Mishnah didn't mention that. So you're still back to it. The Mishnah seems to have only left out one thing. L'chora, because the Mishnah disagrees with Rish Lakish. Okay, Ve'elam Nisni. Fine. So according to Rish Lakish, then you're back to the question, why Taka doesn't the Mishnah mention Mrs. Av? The answer is, he could answer back. Tana Dava Shiyesh Lekitzva Katani. The Tana only lists something that has a...
Without disagreeing,
right. You could say that the Tana only mentions things, Shiyesh Lekitzva, which have a fixed known time. You know there's a defined time when you can say, I've raised the money, I have money to buy myself out. You know when the 6 years are over, you know when Yovel is coming. These are all things that you can predict in advance. It's Dava Shein Lekitzva Lekatani. Not necessarily would the Mishnah be mentioning things that are unpredictable. The father dying, you never know when that's going to happen. Yeah? Okay, but you also don't know. Not necessarily is he going to die during the 6 years. Remember, if he dies after the 6 years, it doesn't make a difference.
Right.
Okay, but Simonim Dein Lehem Kitzvah Katani, fine. Simonim, there's no defined time either. There's no specific day when you know they're going to happen. That's the answer. Omer of Safra, Ein Lehem Kitzvah L'Maylava, Yesh Lehem Kitzvah L'Masa. There's no upper limit, it is true. But there is a lower limit in the sense that if they come before a certain age, they don't count as Simonim. V'tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, Ben Teisha Shanim Shevi Shtei Sairis, Shuma. If a 9-year-old boy develops shteisairus, we don't consider it to be a simen of maturity. We just consider it to be shuma, the equivalent of it's a mole. Moles sometimes, you know, you develop a mole on your skin and it grows hair. This is just it's a growth of hair. It's not a simen of maturity. If you have all the maybe if you have a, we were just talking about shteisairus.
Right.
I mean, maybe yeah, okay. So if you have one of those rare cases where a person like ages really, really prematurely, maybe, I don't know, maybe.
Not ages, but instead of having the shtisaris, you have, you know, everything.
Maybe, okay. I mean, we talked about in Yevamos the possibility that if a girl has children at an early age, and that might be considered simonim. So, yeah, maybe.
Not considered an early.
Right, okay, maybe. Yeah. But here we're talking about where it's just sinus, yeah. Midden test shonim v'yemechad, ben yud v'yishonim v'yemechad v'oidon boy. What about if he develops these shteisairus between 9 years old and 12 years old, the oidon boy, and then they're still on him when he reaches 13? Shuma, it's still also considered a shuma because they grew in early. They only count as simonim if they grow in after 13. Rabbi Yehuda says no, it is considered a simon.
Did they come before?
They came before, but they still exist there. They still exist there in that area when he turned 13. Fine, Rabbi Yehuda says that now we consider them, so up until now we consider them a shuma. Those same hairs now become simonim. That's not the halacha, though. The halacha is like the Tanakhama. That's still considered a shuma. It only counts as simonim if they grew after 13. Usually, by the way, for many purposes in halacha, we rely on this is a Mishnah and a Gemara in Midah that discusses this whole issue. For many purposes in halacha, we use what the Gemara calls over there Chazaka de Rava, because Rava is the first one who mentions it in the Gemara. That we usually assume that a 13-year-old boy or 12-year-old girl has Shesitis. We don't have to actually physically examine them to know for sure that they have before allowing them to daven by the Omud, before allowing a boy to daven by the Omud, let's say, or various other purposes. However, by and large, that only applies to things that are banan. When it comes to things that are daraisa, we learned in Yevamos, for example, we learned as far as chalitza and yibum, we learned in Yevamos, or certain other issues, making kiddush is another example. Then, not necessarily can we rely on chazaka d'rava. You need to have some more evidence just than that the kid is 13. The official thing would be bedikah, that in the case of a boy, you check him, and in the case of a girl, you have girls check, you have women check, but depending on the same, either that, or at least, you have to wait until, for example, maybe until they start developing, developing a beard, let's say, or other simonim of maturity. In the case of a girl, you can see other physical changes in her. Anyway, Ben Yud Gimel Shana V'Yemech, a divinical simon, if the Shtei Sadis develop after 13 years old, then everybody agrees to simon. And the same thing for a girl with 12. Rashi mentions over here that the Gemara there, and Nidah discusses why we're only mentioning the ages for a boy, why aren't we talking about the parallel ages for a girl, but whatever. Anyway. So we see that there is a minimum age before which simonim don't count. So therefore, the Mishnah would mention Simonim because we know for sure, for example, if she becomes an Amor Evi at 5 years old, for example, we know there's not going to be Simonim during the 6 years because by the time 6 years are over, she's only going to be 11 and that's too young. So therefore, we can still talk about Yeshlem Kitzvah Lamata, as opposed to, you never know, during those 6 years, the father might die. Therefore, the Shlokish could argue that's reason enough for the Mishnah not to mention it. But not that it doesn't work. Most of Rav Sheshes asks, based on a Braisa, which we're going to quote the whole Braisa later on, Rav Shimon Omer, Dalad Man Nikimahim, Rav Shimon says there's four cases where an Eved or an Omer gets Hanukkah, gets the severance day when they leave. Gimel Be'ish for Gimel Be'ish. So there's three cases that apply to a man and three that apply to a woman, meaning that some of them apply to both. Some of them apply to both. 6 years, for example, applies to both. Yovel applies to both. But then there's one that applies to a man and not a woman, and one that applies to a woman and not to a man. So altogether, you have four. It says v'iyat yochalem adalav be'echad. You can't say that four of them apply to any one, neither to an eved nor to an ama. L'fishem simonim be'ishvein etziyavisha, because the remaining two are when the girl develops simonim, or when the eved. Has been nirtza when he had his ear pierced and stays on till yovel, where the woman doesn't get her ear pierced. So therefore, if you count like that, if you say there's four things, the point is we're going to have a braisa later that describes whether there are any other ones. What about gir and kesef? Whatever, we'll get into that. But the point is the imis, and if you're going to tell me like Rosh Lakish says that with a woman with an amah hevriya, you'll also have when her father dies, she automatically goes free. Nisni nami misasav. Then you have another one that can apply to a woman. So then you have, so what is he saying? You can only have three by man and only three by woman, according to this. Comes out to be four by a girl. So you could argue the same thing. Okay, the Tana listed some things, he left out others. Which, okay, the fact that he mentioned a number is not, he explicitly said, there's four things implying no more than four. The chitema, so you might argue the same as we said before. Tana davashiesh the kitzba katani, davashiesh the kitzba le katani. You could argue the same thing. Maybe the Tana is only listing things that we can predict in advance, not things that are unpredictable. What about simonim, which are unpredictable? So you're going to answer, okay, you have Rav Safra's logic, that there's a minimum age that you know simonim can't come before. But among the four things that he's listing, one of them is Mrs. Adon, when the Adon dies, Ge'en lahem kitzva v'katani. There's no kitzvah for that either. You never know when the Adin might die. They never know when the Adin might die, and yet it's listed. The answer is no. Mrs. Adin Nami Lakatani, no. As a matter of fact, it's not listed. The list of four things does not include Mrs. Adin as one of them.
Wasn't it the Gemara says it is listed?
Because we thought when he said four things, we thought we're going to go through the braisa at the bottom of the Amud. We may get to it today, we may get to it tomorrow, but we're going to get into it and figure out what exactly the four things are. At this point in the discussion, the Gemara started with assuming that one of the four things, where one of the two things that applies equally to men and women, is Mrs. Arden in the case of a woman or in the case of a girl always, in the case of a man, only if he's a Mirza, only if he had his ear pierced. So then what are the four things that Rav Shimon is mentioning? They are Shonim, the 6 years, the Yovel. Yovel in the general case, where Yovel comes during the 6 years. The Yovel Sharusia, or the other case of Yovel, namely for Nirsa, where you need a, that's considered a separate case because he's a Nirsa. Yovel without Ritzia is what we talked about yesterday. That, for example, the guy was sold, or sure the man or the girl was sold 2 or 3 years before Yovel, and then Yovel comes. Yovel Sharusia is the guy was sold 20 years before Yovel, 6 years passed, Ahatia Sadani, he gets his ear pierced, and he stays on another 14 years, and then Yovel sets him free. That's a separate thing. So that's what he means then, that three of these can apply to a man, namely Shonim, Yovel, and Yovel Sharetzia, but not Simonim, and three can apply to a girl, Shonim, Yovel, not Yovel Sharetzia, because Yovel doesn't apply to a girl, and Simonim. In fact, it seems logical that that's what he means, that he's not listing, that he's not mentioning either case of Misa. Because after all, the Braisa continues, you can't say that there's four cases that apply to any of them. For a man, there's no simonim. Simonim don't make a difference. For Ritzia, no Ritzia happens. Now, never mind Rish Lakish's thing about the father dying. If you were going to say that the Braisa should have also listed Mrs. Arden, which after all everybody does agree that a girl goes free on Mrs. Arden and a Nirta goes free on Mrs. Arden, then at least by a woman you would have four cases, as opposed to we just said Davka three. Shmamino, so therefore that means that we're not talking about cases of Mrs. at all. Most of Rav Amram, so now Rav Amram says, very well, you were asking from the Sefer of the Braisa, Rav Shimon's statement. I'm going to ask from the earlier part of the Braisa. The Braisa starts off, the following Avodim, or almost, Ger HaNaka, Hayot V'Shanim, when they go free after the 6 years are up, over Yovel, over Mitzvah Sa'adin, or when the master dies, the Amar Yavriya V'Simanim. Or an Amar Yavriya, when she develops Simanim. See, that's the thing also. The Tanakhama had explicitly mentioned Mrs. Arden. That's why we assumed that Rav Shimon meant the same list. But now we tried to infer and say that no, he wasn't talking about the same list, that he was talking about two different types of Yovel. But now let's go back to the Tanakhama. V'yimis and Nisninami Mrs. Av. According to Rish Lakish, mention also when the father dies. And again, the Chitam Atan of Ashir, so you're going to say, okay, the Tana left some cases out. V'ha'elu Chitani. Never mind, okay, the fact that he mentioned a number, you could say that sometimes you have, even Tosfos gives an example that we learned in Sota, where there was a number, and where there was a number, and nevertheless we found other cases that aren't included in the number. So you could still say Tana Bashir even if a number is mentioned. We did something like that in the first Perek also, when we had Rav Huna argued over there earlier in the Perek, when we had the three ways, the Kesef Shtar of Bia, Rav Huna had argued that also chuppah, and we said, what about the Mishnah? It says three. We said, okay, he's only listing things that you can explicitly learn from the Pasuk, not things like chuppah that you only learn from Kal v'Chomer. So we see, just because of the number doesn't mean we can't say Tana Bashir. But the Mishnah is saying Elu, specifically these. The Chitema, which means only these, nothing else. The Chitema, so you're going to answer again, Dovash Yesh the Kitzpah Katani, Dovash Yesh the Kitzpah Katani. Fine, you're going to argue the same answer. The Tana is not listing things that are unpredictable. While Simonim Bein Lam Kitzpah Katani, fine, the Simonim are unpredictable. The Chitema Hachinam Kedir of Safra, fine, you're going to give Rav Safra's answer that there's a lower limit for them. Or you can Mrs. Arden. But here, the Braisa clearly mentions Mrs. Arden, which, like Mrs. Av, there's no upper or lower limit for it. It could happen any time. Tiyufta de Rish Lakish. That's a clear contradiction against Rish Lakish. So it is a contradiction to him, and therefore we've slogged him up, and Mrs. Av does not take an Amar Hivri Av. Next question is, what is Rish Lakish Kal v'Chomer Amar? What are we doing with Rish Lakish's Kal v'Chomer? The answer is Kal v'Chomer Prichahi. It's a kavachomer that if you analyze it more closely, it falls apart. Pricha literally means that it breaks apart. The kavachomer was, he said that Madach went, the simonim get her out of her father's, that simonim don't get her out of her father's rishus, because the Naira, she's still under her father's rishus, but they get her out of her Odin's rishus. So her father's death, which gets her out of his rishus, how much more so it should get her out of the Odin's rishus. But that's a kavachayim, that falls apart. Mishum de'ikal mifrach, because you can slog it up as follows. Malah simonim sh'nishtana haguf. How do you compare simonim where her body actually changed? Before she didn't have simonim, and now she does. How do you compare that to Mrs. Av, where her body is still the same as before? Just discusses a little more. There is also the fact to consider. Tosfos says that even she develops simonim nishtana aguf, her father is still her father, as opposed to an other, and you more easily say that she came to him as a kana, now that she's a naira, then she leaves his rishus, whereas her father is still her father after simonim as well.
You have to compare what's comparable.
Well, I'm saying, Tosfos is mentioning it in connection with that the Gemara could have sort of expanded the kavachomer. The Gemara could have expanded the kavachomer. Madach simonim, even though nishtana haguf, she's still in her father's rishus, but they take her out of the rishus of Odin, so miss it, even though not nishtana aguf, and it takes her out of there, etc. So that's what Tosfos says, that you can't really say, shinui aguf is not really a logical reason to say that she should go out of her father's rishus. She's still the same girl, she's his daughter and he's her father before and after simonim. Therefore, it's not logical to add that to the kavachomer.
Vergeris is when exactly?
Vergeris is 6 months after Nairus. So Begeris, Taka, she leaves.
There's still a connection between the Simanim and...
But that's 6 months later. Bagrus is a later stage of maturity.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, at that point, she leaves her father's rishus. I mean, that's the Xeris HaKosov at that point. Benurea, basically. We don't have a pasuk that says that she's still under her father's rishus as a Begeris anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And keep in mind, also, the ordinary expectation in those days was that she gets married, she gets engaged and married still as a Naira, which is why, for example, the term, you have the common Naira Pasula Marirasa, for example, if a girl became a Begeris and wasn't yet married, and in terms of those days, she'd be considered an old maid already, There usually wouldn't be a time when she... No, whatever. The point is that usually there wouldn't be a time when she's in her own rishus, unless either she didn't get married by Begeris, or her father died, in which case we said she's in her own rishus anyway, or she got divorced. Or actually, also, we're going to learn later on that once, if she goes through the 6 years of Amah Hevriya, then also she's out of her father's rishus. That's the pasuk says, Lo Yimshal Lamachra, the Vig Deba, her father doesn't have the ability to sell her again, because she's out of his rishus already. Okay.
Even if she's below
12, yeah. We'll learn about it later. Yeah. By the way, there's a couple of Rishonim talk about the question. I mean, why did the Gemara start? Why did Rav Sheshet start off with a question from the second half of the Braisa? Rav Amram gives a question from the first half of the Braisa and slogs up Rav Shlokish with it. Why did Rav Sheshet ignore the first part of the Braisa and do only the second part? So a couple of answers. One of them is that not necessarily did Rav Sheshet know the whole Braisa. It's a commonplace thing throughout Shas. The Chachamim, the Amoraim had to know all the Mishnayot. They didn't necessarily have to know all the Braisas. So therefore, Yitaka may have only known the second half of the Braisa.
If he knew,
then Yitaka could have used Rav Amram. He could have brought up Rav Amram's question. There's a couple of other answers also, one of them being that maybe he wanted to show that not only you can slug him up from the Tanakhama, but even from Rav Shimon. That way maybe he doesn't have the ability to say, okay, but I hold like Rav Shimon. Hey. Tani Chada, now, getting back to the matter of Hanukkah, one Braisa teaches us Enek Eved Ivri La'atma, Enek Amar Ivri La'atma. One Braisa says that an Eved Ivri's Hanukkah goes directly to him, and the Hanukkah of an Amar Ivri goes directly to her. The Tani Yiduch, Enek Amar Ivri, Mitzi Yasa La'aviyah. Another Braisa says, though, that no, the Hanukkah of an Amar Ivri, as well as anything that she finds during the time that she's an Amar Ivri, goes to her father. In the case of a Matsya, all her master is entitled to is the time for the Batala, the time that she spent picking up this Matsya that she could have been doing work for him. So how do we reconcile these two braises? My lab had enough to be Simon and had enough to love a Mrs. Av. L'chura then, shouldn't we say one braise is talking about when she went free with Simonim and her father is still alive? So then we say the hanaka that she receives when she's done the 6 years goes to her father. The other one is talking about when she went after Mrs. Ab, where her father's not around, therefore she keeps it. Therefore, after all, we could say we can find a braisa that agrees with Rish Lakish. The answer is no, Loi. I did not love a simonim. No, both cases could be talking about that she went free with simonim. But like Kasha, the isilav or the lesilav. No, okay, but it's very simple. If the father is alive versus if he's not alive, she didn't go free when he died because we don't go lekker shlokish. But the fact is, if sometime during those 6 years he died, he's not around now. Therefore, she keeps the hanukkah for herself. Fine, I can understand why the Braisa needs to tell us that her Hanukkah goes to her in that case, meaning as opposed to her brothers, the Tanya, and we know that because the Braisa says, when the Pasuk says about an Eved Knani, that you bequeath them to your children after you, so besides that we use Oysam on Amud Aleph as a mute to talk about the whole business of Shtar, we're using it here also in the sense, Oysam Levnechem, Levnei Seichem Levnechem. We learn from that you bequeath your avadim to your children, but not to your sons, but not your daughters to your sons.
You can use it twice.
Yeah. Well, especially because we said that we only needed it as part of the argument over there. And primarily we used Oysam, we said mainly only we had logic over there to say that Levnei Seichem Levnei Seichem Levnechem means Shtar, yeah. From this we learn that a person does not bequeath the schus that his daughter has to his sons. So in this case, the daughter is entitled to the hanukkah. His sons don't have the ability to take it over from her, even though they're yaushening the rest of his estate. Well, it's true it was a davar shelo hayah ba'olam yet, but that's no, but not necessarily. Wait, again, remember we could be talking about the case the father died while she's still in Amaria. She finishes out the six. Okay, no, you're right. Then in that case, it would be a davar shelo hayah ba'olam. Fine, let's take the other way around. Let's say that she when the 6 years are up, her father was still alive. The hanukkah is supposed to be paid at that point. By the time it got paid, he died. It's already an outstanding chayv. Nevertheless, we don't say that it's sons yarshin it based on this pasuk. An Eved Ivri lost mipshita. So what the chiddush in saying that an Eved Ivri gets his own hanukkah? Who else would we think gets it? Who else should it be going to? Amar Rav Yosef, Yud Kros Kachazina Hacha. So Rav Yosef says, you know what? I see a Yud over here that's been made into a big city. A Yud is a tiny little letter. Kros means a city. Meaning, it was like, yeah, the Tana just mentioned, just mentioned something extra for no good reason. But it's true. There is no real Chiddush in it. Of course, an Eved Ivri gets his own Hanukkah. There's no Chiddush in it. Sometimes, yeah. It's an unusual expression, Yud Keres Kachazina. And there are other explanations as well, including there's an explanation from the Aruch, Yud Keres is a city in Eretz Yisrael. There's a Tana named Rabbi Yosef Dimin Yukros. So what we mean is, in other words, that it's like it's very difficult to understand, just as difficult as it is to understand the things that Tana Rabbi Yosef Dimin Yukros teaches. Abaya says, you don't need that. Rav Sheshet says, Homani Tutoyi. This braisa goes according to Tutoyi, the name of Atana. The Tanya Tutoyi. I'm a loy, v'loy l'bal chayv. Tutoyi says, as we learned yesterday, that the Tanaka goes zafka to the Eved Ivri, not to his bal chayv. We learned yesterday about how that relates to Shibud and Rav Nosson, that even though Rav Nosson would say that normally if Reuven owes Shimon money and Shimon owes Levi, you take it directly from Reuven and give it to Levi. Here, you don't do that. And we had the long toast for some of there that discussed, is that generally true, or is that true only in the case of Hanaka? So we said that one answer the Tosfos says is that there's a separate by Hanukkah. We say not like Rav Nosson, but in other cases we do. But in most other cases we do. So our advice would be going according to that opinion of Tutoi. So therefore it's not extra. It's coming to tell us. Don't think that we apply Shibud to Rav Nosson over here. We don't. Rav Levick, the Rebbe's father, has a deep explanation of the Kabbalah of the two unusual expressions, the Yud Keres Kachazina, also it's not an expression we usually find much in Shas, and Tutoi is a name that we never find any place, He has a long, long explanation relating the whole thing of Hanukkah, he says, relates to Yosef, who was originally a slave in Mitzrayim, and then he was a prisoner over there, he was a slave in Potiphar, he was in jail, then he was set free. The Hanukkah that he got consisted of that he was taught the 70 languages and got the extra letter, the Hey, of the Havishta's name. So So therefore, he has a long explanation of how Alpi Kabbalah, how Hanako relates to the Yud and the Hey of Yosef's name. We'll talk about it maybe more tomorrow in connection with the different opinions of the Tanoim, how much the Hanako is supposed to be, because he relates it. He relates all three opinions to that. So he says, therefore, the Yud Teres over here is like the Yud that gets blown up into the Hey. As a Yud becomes like a whole miniature city, a Hey. And Tutoi, he says, relates to, he also has a long part of a long explanation over there is how all of this, how Yosef, who's called a Nar, relates to the Malach Matat, who's also called a Nar, and therefore the Malach Matat, the middle letters of his name are Tes, and therefore that relates to this Tana Tutoi. And therefore the connection that Dr. Tutoi of all people is talking about a din involving Hanukkah that goes only to him and is not supposed to be diverted to any other.
That's a
Hanukkah. He gained a great advantage. He became a Mishnah Lamelech. But no, the fact that he learned 70 languages means that now he got a letter of the Eibishter's name added to his name. In one place in Tillim, it's in the Shir Shoyim of Thursday, the Eidus B'Yosef Samoy. So we learned in Saita he gained that letter because he withstood the whole story of Potiphar's wife. But the Medrash brings that the Malach Gabriel was trying to teach him the semi languages. He couldn't grasp it till the Hay was added to his name, and that gave him the koyach to grasp it. Why is it only in Chilin? There's another thing someplace in the Kutta Levi Yitzchak that explains the details. I don't remember what it is. Something to do, I think, with that. We only mention it in connection with Rosh Hashanah, and the connection between him and Rosh Hashanah is only made there in Chilin. What's the Tikkun B'Chodesh Shofar? I don't remember though exactly. But yeah.
So he's done with Avraham, right?
Well, that was a different thing. That was a different thing. Yeah.
We
were talking about Yosef. Yeah.
No, I know.
Yeah.